Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rav Tzvi Ortner, Rav of Linas HaTzedek in Brooklyn and Director of the Technology Department at the OU. Thank you, Rabbi Ortner, for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, what does it mean to be the Director of the Technology Department at the Orthodox Union? What does that involve?
So technology, and the term of technology that people, you know, why do we think maybe about cell phones or stuff like that?
Right.
But technology, our world is full of advanced technology today. And specifically when you come to Hilchas Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, living in the city, the only time we actually engage with any type of malachas today is actually when we deal with the kelim, the appliances that we have in our kitchen. So dealing with technology means that we're trying to analyze the issues in the field, trying to give response to people that calling in and asking questions how to deal and use today appliances with advanced technology. The next step for it is Baruch Hashem, where we've been involved for the past few years in trying to create solutions so people can actually use technology to fix the problem with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And actually,
do you actually work with manufacturers as well to create the appliances in a way that would be user-friendly for Shomer Torah Mitzvahs on Shabbos?
Yes, definitely. So working with the manufacturers, there's a few different levels to us. We've been working with several manufacturers on small appliances, big appliances, and different products. But I think the best deal that we were able to bring to the community in the past few years was the relationship with GE, General Electric, GE appliances, that they went beyond their imagination to be able to provide a full, perfect solution in both in the halachic level and the convenience level, which means a solution that actually taking care of all the issues involved in appliances usage in the same time, provide a perfect quality automation and all of that interesting stuff.
And it is, I would say it's somewhat of a chiddush that such a large global company would be willing to work with what I'm assuming is a very small demographic compared to the wide world out there, right? The world of from people who need Sabbath mode type of appliances is as much as it's important to us and it's vital to us, but we're a small percentage compared to the larger population, right?
Absolutely. So the answer is both. First of all, yes, it's a big siyata d'shmaya, and then hopefully should be able to, you know, to continue this relationship. But at the same time, it depends a lot of the consumer and as much education and as much as that we have people, customers, appliance dealers, and people involved in actually demanding the companies to improve their Shabbos mode and their service. Companies are usually listening to the demand and they try to accommodate the demand.
So it sounds like this is something, the technology concerns as relates to the from consumer is something that over the years has become more of a concern and more of a need for someone like you as the head of the technology department to really take a leading role in addressing the issues. What would you say is the major difference between, let's say, today and several decades ago when it comes to home appliances and the challenges that they present to the average from person?
Right. So the difference is in both aspects. In other words, from the appliance itself, an oven today is not an oven like 50 years ago, and an oven, a fridge today is not the same like a few years ago, and the difference is in the cooling system, and the defrost system, and the sensors, and different computers and being involved into every oven and every refrigerator. I always say that the people, you know, the engineers working, working with them in GE, they said, you know, you're looking to advance, I'm just looking to pull you back.
Exactly.
And get you a
You'd rather go back to the old way.
Exactly.
And they're trying to make it as modern
right.
as possible.
So you said it right. Actually, our work is to reverse them.
Reverse them.
Somehow, over Shabbos at least, to get back to 3 years ago, 4 years ago, which used to be more or less an acceptable, you know, way of using refrigerators and ovens, you know, going back about 34 years ago.
So a quick rundown, what are the appliances, without getting into the detail first, what are the appliances in a home that are of concern when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov? We're talking about refrigerators, ovens, what else?
So in general, we're talking about a Jewish home today. We can divide it basically into three sections. Okay. It's going to be the big appliances, which can include ovens, refrigerators, water heaters, you know, all kind of stuff like that. It's going to be the small appliances, which are going to be water heaters, urns. It's going to be, you know, all this little stuff that you find on top of the counter, you know, kind of appliances. And then you're going to find yourself within the different world of thermostats, cameras, all kind of stuff. You know, today's home automation and, you know, all this type of fancy
sensors
and stuff like that, which is going to be, you know, it's kind of a different conversation. What we are looking for in general is usually to make sure that people understand that loi ho ke ho, meaning you can just put together all of them and say, you know, I mean, oh, you know, you walk into the house, you don't do anything. So, of course, a fridge and an oven is also nothing. There's so much involved in both in the toitso and in the action. In other words, there's differences of how you do things. There's a difference whether you walk into something or you open up something or you're actually causing a sensor to work or stuff like that, number one. Number two, there's a big difference what actually is happening. Is there a fire that's being turned on? Is this a recording? Is it just a compressor? Is this a voltage change? There's a lot of different aspects to every specific question and needling that we were talking about.
So everything has to be judged individually, and people shouldn't extrapolate from one appliance to another and things like that. Basically, we have to know the facts on the ground.
Exactly.
So let's start for the beginning of this conversation. Let's take one thing at a time. Refrigerators. The average refrigerator that someone buys today, what are the concerns as far as Shabbos and Yom Tov, and what are the innovations that you came up with to address those?
Right. So before I'm getting into the details, I just want to react to what you said before. Yeah. Is we talk about in a very general conversations. So we have to understand that there's all type of opinions and there's all different, you know, everybody should ask his rov and deal differently with them because there's so many details and so many problem going on into it. So obviously when we are going to a solution, as we're going to talk about soon, we're trying to cover all angles possible to get to a 100% solution.
You're saying from a halachic standpoint?
From a halachic standpoint. You know, being said that, you know, there's room to rely for some people, some poiskim, and some rabbonim, and some, you know, different places or different approach in halacha. So whatever we're going to say, we're just going to kind of present the facts. But we're not going to say whether, you know, X, Y, Z is motto, also somebody is Shomer Shabbos, other one is Mechallel Shabbos. This is not the conversation, right?
Got it.
Good. So, talking about the refrigerator is basically the old old kind of refrigerators, talking about 40, 50, 60 years ago, which actually, when the fact came out, used to be like an icebox in the old time, right?
Sure.
But once this changed and we have a refrigerator at home, every poisek at the time were busy. What do we do? Can we use it or not?
Right.
Talks about all the boys coming out, all the boys.
And what was the concern at the time? Assuming there's no light that's turning on when you open the door.
So the concern, first of all, the conversation was about the light.
It was about the light?
It wasn't a regular way to turning on the light.
Right.
Don't forget that 20 years before, there was a conversation whether turning on a switch is an issue or not. It was also something new. You know, fire from the time of the Mauritian, where, you know, with the two stones and then with the fire.
It was a new, this is a new development.
New development, right? So there was always a conversation how we look at it, right? So the light was a conversation, number one. The other conversation was the compressor, which is basically a machine that pump gas in and out, especially mean gas into
to keep
the machine
it cold.
To keep it cold.
And that would be triggered by opening the door because you're allowing warm air in? Is that the problem?
Right, so what's important is that they used to have a thermostat, not like we have today. They used to have like these mechanical thermostats, which used to be either like a little gas pipe that react to temperature or a little metal that react to temperature. So the conversation was separately. First of all, what is going on in that little pipe? What is going on in that little metal? Is this an issue? Are we doing something? And assuming that we're not doing anything, so when you open the door, you're reacting on the thermostat, you're not doing anything, and then the compressor is turning on. So it's already like a second step.
So it's only called Brahma. It's only Brahma.
So the conversation was these two big nidoinim. Number one was to identify what's exactly the issue and the problem with causing a compressor to go on. And secondly, how you cause it to go on, which means you open the door, you're letting the hot air, and then the thermostat, which is not an issue, is causing the compressor to do. So the results was a conversation, what's the issue, and how you do it, whether it's a Grom or a Maisa. There was these two main conversations at the time, which, to be honest, most of the poskim actually, and I'm sure everybody of us still remember our fathers or grandfathers, used to be makpid to open the door only when the compressor was on in the old time. And that got changed, you know, the joke was because, you know, they used to give the children to open up the door and the children just go up so they knew that, you know, can open the door anytime. But the truth of the matter is that afterwards, mainly based off of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's psak, was that it's not a problem because of that two reasons. Number one, Shlomo Zalman was confirming that the compressor is only at the Rabbonon. Getting into the conversation with electricity in general, what's the definition of that, whether it's the rice, or it's the rabbonon, and then that the fact that it's based on a And a mechanical thermostat, it's only a goma.
So it's only a secondary step.
Exactly, which is...
So you're saying the tsiruf of both of those...
Both of those was the basis of the Pshama Zamanis, Psaik, and Simon Yud, in to pasken that you can open the refrigerators freely and then finishing up, or in a Shabbos, you know, we should we should open the door with no concern.
And that's, is there a difference between a fridge and a freezer, or is it the same?
I believe it's at that time it was the same.
At that time it was the same, okay.
So now... So what happened was that this heter was slowly taking over
Klal
Yisrael, but at the same time, the metzius just got changed.
Because there were advancements.
Exactly.
Refrigerators were becoming more complicated.
Right. Okay. So what happened is actually on both sides. Meaning the end results was not just a compressor. It was, for example, a defrost, which means the defrost system means in the old time, if you still remember, they used to unplug sometime the fridge just to let the ice melt.
Right? Yeah.
So what they have today is a defrost system that there's a little fire, there's a little heat element in the back that actually defrosting slowly the ice, which in the beginning also wasn't a problem because it used to work on a time base. Mm-hmm. So it's again not a problem, you're not doing anything. But over time, they used to attach the defrost cycle, what's called adaptive defrosting, meaning it's adapting on something, either compressor one time, or as many times you open and close the door, which means you are actually eventually causing it to happen. It could still be a grumma, it's still going to be a secondary step because it's based on the compressor on time or sometime opening and closing the doors, but talking about the ice, it talks about actual fire on one end. Shlomo actually in the new Madura is like putting a note saying I heard about this new divorce and I'm not talking about it, kind of, you know, I guess it was too old to get.
It was too new then.
I guess. So this is the end result of it. On the other hand, this little thermostat became digital, which means it's not anymore just like this little pipe or this little metal. It's a computer. What's the definition of a computer in halacha, right? You're writing something, you're recording something, you're putting information, you're telling the computer to do something. So these two major changes that happen in the refrigerator, again, we don't say it's also or it's chol Shabbos, you know, everybody should look and, you know, make his decision based on his psak, but the facts were changed. So what Klal Yisrael is actually relying on an old psak and the metzius were changed, it's a time for, you know,
reevaluation.
Exactly.
So you, let's say you made this reevaluation and you've obviously stayed up to date on the developments and advancements of all the major refrigerator manufacturers. What etza, what solution have you come up with for those who are concerned about this? First of all, should people be concerned today about the fact that, let's say, Reb Shlomo Zalman's heter would not be applicable to our refrigerators now?
Right. So what's very important is just for people to be knowledgeable and make a mature decision when it comes to buying appliances. You know, I used to go on for cashless, and I remember one time I went in some place, whatever, and I was looking to eat something, and I saw a place that was kosher, but it's open 7 days a week, you know. So I called up and said, are you kosher? I said, sure. I said, who is giving this supervision? I said, self-supervision. We're doing it ourselves. Everybody laughs when it comes to food, right? When it comes to appliances, you'll be surprised to hear that many manufacturers are actually coming out with Shabbos mode on their own. Which means the goy, the engineer that's sitting somewhere in Korea or whatever the place is trying to imagine what could be a problem for the Eid and somehow to come up with a solution. So this is something that we have to understand is unacceptable.
So you have to know just because you hear Sabbath mode,
it doesn't,
mean that it's a Sabbath mode la halacha.
Exactly.
Right?
And I can give examples for an hour on different details.
That's an interesting detail.
That's number one. Right. Number two, there is a certification and there is agencies that are giving certification for Shabbos mode. So everybody has to make sure to know what his standards and what he wants, what's considered the Shabbos mode and what type of either Terim or Psakim that they're relying on. Right. So this is another thing that a person has to be mevarech, has to look into it from a technical perspective, from a rabbinic halachic perspective, and ask a shaleh and make his own decision. The third option, obviously, is what we have been working for the past 3 or 4 years, and we came up with this Shabbos kippah for refrigerators, and then a bit later, Shabbos kippah for ovens.
Right.
This is where we went and we said, regardless on what our opinion is, what the psak is, we are going on a 100% solution. We don't cut corners on anything, and we're just making sure that it's going to be working
L'chol hashitas.
Again, all we're asking and what we're trying to educate people is get the education, collect the information to yourself, ask a Shaila, and then make whatever decision you make.
Mm-hmm. So describe what this does. What does the Shabbos keeper do on a practical level for a refrigerator? Someone is concerned about triggering the thermostat, turning on the compressor, the defrost. What does the Shabbos keeper do?
Right. So when we go through this list of four or five solutions that we're talking about, so the defrost, I guess, is the most, you know,
biggest concern
in terms of halacha, as you're talking about, really, you know, really age. So we fully, we put it on a full time-based cycle. So there's nothing to do with you opening and closing the door. When you talk about the compressor, we talk about what they call the silt system in general, which include into the dampers and all the different components into making sure all the different temperature in the fridge and different component, you know, in the fridge, in the freezer, in the drawers or whatever, you know, different level of temperature. We automate the entire system, so it works on kind of a pre-programmed cycle. So again, you're not really causing any changes when it comes to opening and closing the door.
And none of these changes impact the effectiveness of the appliance?
So I can tell you that it was an easy journey. And the way we're doing it is on three levels. We do lab work, lab testing, then we have some people having field tests with actual units. And then we had version 1, version 2, we're already up to version 2.5 and version 3. And Baruch Hashem, I can say that, you know, we are improving ourselves more and more and more. People should expect maybe not to have the 100% way of working, which should not affect any of the quality of the food and of the temperature. But I think at this point we can comfortably say that our system worked perfectly for most of the comparable refrigerators in general.
And just to clarify, the Shabbos keeper that you developed, is that something that a consumer would have to buy when they purchased the refrigerator from a retailer? Is it something that could be put in once they buy the device? You know, once they have the appliance already in their house, how does that work?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a plug and play, technically. So it can be bought together with the appliance. Most of the Jewish dealers out there are selling it. You can buy it from GE directly, you can buy it from smarttechnologies.com on the website. You can plug it in now if you bought the appliance, you know, two years ago, whatever.
And is it compatible with every type of major refrigerator that someone would buy? How does one know whether it's compatible or not?
So we're talking about GE appliances.
So we're talking about only GE right now?
Only GE right now. Okay. We can say that 98% of their refrigerators are already comparable. I will suggest, if you have any concern or any suffix or whatever, to call Smart Technologies, or you can check on the website. We have a list of all the models that are comparable. Most of them are comparable and should work perfectly.
So all these items are produced under the Zman brand, correct? Zman Technologies?
It's powered by Zman Technology, but just for the comfort of people, it's actually manufactured by GE Appliances.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this was actually made by GE?
Exactly. It's made here, made in USA, in Louisville, Kentucky. Under high supervision.
But that's also comforting to know. So it's actually being made by the manufacturer of the product.
Correct.
And they obviously want to maintain the highest standard of compatibility and effectiveness.
Correct.
This is it's amazing to think that one of the largest manufacturers of appliances in the world is kind of playing ball with the Frum community and trying to make it work. I understand that it's always about the bottom line.
Right.
And they want to make money, but afal pi kein, it's definitely amazing what you've been able to accomplish by working with them.
Definitely. You wouldn't even imagine how much time and people is actually involved.
Invested in this?
In that product, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
I could just imagine the conversation around the table with the engineers and the people from GE trying to explain to them the halacha concerns.
Exactly. And today, you know, some of them are actually bigger Talmid Chacham than me. We can have some conversation. One of them can say, hey, Rabbi, this might be a grammar.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You have to get them into the Kailul and really start, right. You know, get them to learn Shulchan Aruch and the Noizei Kailum.
Definitely.
Very
so,
interesting.
So we're expanding, actually, you know, when we're talks about ovens, and eventually we're talking about, you know, we're getting into separation for two cavities for Basu B'cholov. So, and we're talking about that. And then we have conversation talking about kashering stuff and, you know, Passover, Selfkin, all of that. So they pity Talmid Chachamim.
They're very familiar.
Yes.
So we discussed refrigerators. Anything else to discuss about refrigerators before we move on?
Yeah, so one more important part is when it comes to the sensors. So what we accomplished over here is different than anything else available in the market, is that we are fully deactivate all the sensors involved.
Where are the sensors in a refrigerator?
So generally speaking, there's temperature sensors, obviously.
Okay.
And then we have the door sensors. Now, those sensors usually might be something that you're not going to know, you're not going to see. Let's say you open the door. 5 minutes from now, it's going to beep.
It beeps, right.
So you have to realize that it means that when you open the door,
you trigger something.
You trigger something that calm down until 5 minutes from now, right? Now, you can deactivate it in two ways. You can say, okay, so I'm going to have a calm down, but the calm down is going to say to the computer, but don't beep.
Mm-hmm. But you're still triggering something.
Exactly. What we did actually is there's actually a cut of flow to the door sensors. So nothing is being registered actually to the door.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we can get into the conversation, but again, our goal was we're not cutting corners. We're trying to get to 100% solution, which means, for example, that even let's say some people are macbeth, like in the old days, to open the door only when the motor is working.
Right.
In our solution, you can avoid that too, because we're actually automating the sealed system, the compressor system also. So you're not affecting that too.
Right, got it. Okay, so refrigerators, that's a pretty good summary for our viewers who want to understand what the issues are. And like you said before, I'll reiterate that obviously everyone should speak to their Pesach and their Rav and get direction for what's proper for them to do. Thank you, Rabbi Ordner, for this fascinating conversation about refrigerators as they relate to Shabbos and Yontif usage. Amir Tashem, the next time we meet, we'll discuss ovens and the innovations that you've come up to address those concerns as well. So thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, and thank you.